It's good to see you early morning. I think we only have one non or two non-staff people in the sanctuary today. And so good job. And I know you guys are listening online as well. Okay, Psalm 18. It's quite a long psalm. It's actually the fourth longest psalm in the whole collection. So let's read this. Psalm 18. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me, and the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple and my cry for help before he came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling. They were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew, and he sped upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him. Darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him passed his thick clouds, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. Then the channels of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare. At thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from on high, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his ordinances were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless with him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyes. With the kind, thou dost show thyself kind. With the blameless, thou dost show thyself blameless. With the pure, thou dost show thyself pure. And with the crooked, thou dost show thyself astute. And thou dost save an afflicted people, but haughty eyes thou dost abase. For thou dost light my lamp. The Lord my God illumines my darkness. For by thee I can run upon a troop and be my God. I can leap over, and by my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand upholds me, and thy gentleness makes me great. Thou dost enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and I did not turn back until they were consumed. I shattered them so they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength for battle. Thou hast subdued under me those who rose up against me. And thou hast made my enemies turn their backs to me, and I destroyed those who hated me. They cried for help, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them fine as a dust before the wind. I emptied them out as the mire of the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the contentions of the people. Thou hast placed me as head of the nations. A people whom I have not known serve me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. Foreigners submit to me. Foreigners fade away and come trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who executes vengeance for me and subdues people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Surely thou dost lift me up above those who rise up against me. Thou dost rescue me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks to thee among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to thy name. He gives great deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Amen. This is there's a lot to break down, and I don't have that much time, so I'm just going to pick and choose a few aspects here. And so this is a psalm of praise, or the song of praise for deliverance. And most likely the deliverance that he's talking about here is when Saul eventually dies. And so we can kind of read this in that context would probably help us to understand a lot of what's going on here. Now, it's been said that this psalm is actually written over a lifetime. And so if you actually go back to 2 Samuel 22, David's last song before he dies, it's actually Psalm 18 that we read here. And so very similar. And so most scholars believe that he probably wrote this as a young man, and then over the years kept refining this song until he basically finishes it before he passes in 2 Samuel 22. The choir director in this way is really God. In other words, this psalm is really written to the Lord, and it's praise to his name above anything else. And he is the God that was faithful to David. He's the God that chose David. He's a God that loved David. He's a God that handpicked him out of the shepherd fields and anointed him to be the king. That's the whole context of all this. And then interspersed throughout this is also David's part and what he did, and really more of a holy response to that. And so just from the beginning, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And so all these imageries, rock, fortress, shield, horn. Horn meaning the offensive horns of an animal. And so that's what you'd use to defend yourself. It was also an offensive weapon. And so he's using this imagery to say that God was all those things to him. And he protected him. You know, the rock is a place where you fight, you know, instead of sinking sand. It's also the place where you build. And so there's all kinds of imagery. The rock also, throughout the New Testament, was really a symbol or a picture, a type of Christ. Christ is the rock that is higher than us, or the psalmist will say that's higher than I. And he just talks about all the danger that he was in, and he was. And this is, remember, over a lifetime. So this is not just Saul wanting to kill him. These are also the Philistines. These are also the enemies. And all throughout, God had kept him safe. And so he's recounting really a lifetime of God's faithfulness through this whole thing. Interesting, in verse 6, he says, in my distress I call upon the Lord, cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple and my cry for help before he came into his ears. And so we can see here, this is actually some kind of like prophetic projection, because a temple was not built when David first writes this. And so we know he's under inspiration, and he's alluding to this idea, this fact, that God has a holy temple, and maybe even while he's writing this, David is getting an idea of really building the house of the Lord. And we see this kind of really like a beautiful consideration of God. Remember, most likely David is writing this when he is on the run, when he doesn't have a house. And so you can see, you know, this whole idea of a man after God's own heart. Think about this. David is more concerned with God's house, with a temple, than his own home. He has no place to lay his head. And he's not so concerned about his own house. He's concerned about the house of the Lord. And so he envisions that there's going to be this temple where people can come to and they'll cry out to the Lord and receive that help. I just thought that was kind of a really beautiful a part of this psalm, right? He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. And you can see this kind of thing, right? So, you know, he anticipates, just like God anticipates, he hears our prayers even before it reaches his ears. It's the same idea that we see here. The earth shook and quaked, the foundations of the mountains were trembling. Now, from 7 on to about 15, David is basically going to use the Exodus story to highlight his own deliverance. And so the earth shaking and quaking, the trembling, the wind, the thundering from the heavens, the hailstones, coals of fire, arrows, lightning flashes, the channels of water that appear, right? It's talking about the Red Sea separating. And so he's using the imagery of the Exodus story and the early conquest of Joshua to lay this whole picture of what God does. And it's this idea that we read it and simply says, God did it for the Israelites when they fled Egypt in Exodus and led them into the promised land. And you can see that in that same way, it's like present tense and future tense. God's going to do it for me, and God has done it for me. In the same way, God did it for the Israelites, right? God did it for during the Exodus. God will do it for me, and God has done it for me in that same way. And I think a lot of times in our prayers, we also take this very same kind of idea. God, if you did it for them back in those days, God, then you'll do it for me. In our Experiencing God class, in fact, today is when the assignment is due, but you guys that took EG, you remember the spiritual markers. And we have our spiritual markers. We write down kind of the way that God has led us. And the simple idea is we see a pattern. We see the fingerprint of God over our lives. And what I find myself, when I feel troubled or trying to figure things out or a little confused or whatnot, I go back to my spiritual markers. And say, oh, no, God, yeah, you did it then. And it's the same, Lord, you did it back then for me. You will do it again. But it always goes back to the faithfulness of God. You did it for the Israelites when they fled Egypt, you know, thunder and lightning and hailstones and all these things. And so, Lord, you're going to do it for me as well. And he does. And that's exactly what he does for David. And so, and then you get in 19 and 20. So we're going to park here for a little bit. He says, and he brought me forth into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Brothers and sisters, first and foremost, we always have to realize the reason why God rescues us, the reason why God does anything on our behalf is because he loves us. And I think it's important that David starts this whole thought with that simple idea. Because then in verse 20, he says, and the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his ordinances were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless with him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyes. Okay? So he starts off 19, he rescued me, in other words, he took care of me because he delighted in me, because he loved me, because he cherished me. And so that's the foundation. And then from 20 on is the response to his love. So David is not saying necessarily, I deserve God's protection because I was blameless. Now, let's break that down. Number one, we know David is not blameless, okay? So a couple different things, a couple of ways to look at this little pericope here, okay? One is he wrote this before Bathsheba, before his great sin with Bathsheba, and then, you know, down the road, other sins. And so we could see, yes, he was blameless in that way. I mean, at this point, he's, you know, pretty good kid. He kept the commandments. We can see that. But also, it could be also in a sense, even after Bathsheba, David could also say, I was blameless before the Lord. You know why he could say that? Because when David was confronted with sin, he repented. And that's something that we, I think, we really don't quite grasp fully, okay? Because in God, okay, in the Gospels, when you repent, and you remember, and you acknowledge your wrong and your sin, and you ask God for forgiveness, now, we remember, but the Bible says he doesn't remember. He says, I remember no more, right? As far as the east is from the west, that's how far I've removed your transgression. I buried into the deepest sea. He says, I don't remember. And so we can see this kind of like really beautiful theology being written before us in that if you do something and you sincerely go before God and you say, Lord, forgive me, and you repent before God, guess what? He totally forgives you. As if you actually never did it at all. That's how deep this forgiveness is in our lives. And so some scholars believe that David is referring to that. That before, the great sin of Bathsheba, yes, he was blameless and okay, so on and so forth. But even afterwards, because when confronted, I think it was Nathan, right? When confronted, he repented. And he sought God's forgiveness with tears, if you remember the story. And then, what does God do? He separates it as far as the east is from the west. And he just removes it, and he bears it. He says, I remember no more, as if he's never even done that thing. I think we as human beings, we struggle with that idea. Because we like, I don't know, I still remember the bad things that I've done. And it still bothers me, here and there at different times. But in God's perspective, we are clean. We're blameless. And David could say, I'm blameless in your eyes. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's pretty awesome of David to come into this place. Now, this pericope could also refer to maybe just one particular sin or a temptation to sin, which would be to deal with Saul. So that could be another way of reading this particular aspect of it. In verse 23, and I was blameless with him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. And so it could be that he's particularly talking about the temptation to rid himself of Saul during this time. So that's different aspect, but I like my first explanation a little bit better. And I feel like it's got a much richer meaning for me in that way, that this is how we operate. God loves us, and so he keeps us. He rescues us. And then what do? We respond. Isn't that what John the Revelator says? We love because he first loved us. And that's always been God's heart. And so we don't initiate anything. God initiates. We just simply respond to the overtures of God's love. Okay. Oh, there's so much more, but let's just stop here. It's okay. It's 7:30 right now. So let's close our eyes. Wesley makes his way up to the stage to lead us. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Are you bombarded with thoughts? Is the devil reminding you of your sin? If he is, remind him of the cross. Remind him that Jesus nailed all the decrees, all of the death, all of our sins. Remember, having nailed them to the cross. Remind the devil that he has made a public spectacle of him, triumphing over him. Brothers and sisters, when you have truly repented, it's as if you've actually never done it. in God's eyes. Now, you may have to make it right with people, and if you've broken the law, you may have to make it right to society. But I want you to know, in God's eyes, blameless, totally free. You don't need to be haunted by your past. You can be free in the present. And so let's thank the Lord for the cross and His forgiveness. Let's thank the Lord for what He has done in our lives.
God, I look to You. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like You do. God, I look to You. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom and know just what to do, yeah.
let's pray this morning. Let's thank the Lord for the cross. The cross bought our forgiveness. You know, if we truly repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness, He will forgive us and cleanse us and purify us from all unrighteousness, as if we've actually never even done it. That's how David expresses what God has done for him. And as the enemy is taunting you with your past, I don't know if you've ever heard this one before, but remind him of his future. Let's pray. Let's thank Jesus for what he's done for us. And let's respond to the Lord by living holy lives. Let's pray this morning. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies and surgeries. So let's pray for God's healing word. That are dealing with illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. So with our mission focus, and let's pray for Japan and Cambodia this morning. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia, Chungmin, and Hyunjin, our church in Tokyo. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them and really continue to build connections with people there. Let's pray for Grace and Oasis House in Cambodia. Let's pray for the hand of the Lord to be upon them. Let's lift up. Let's pray over our missions council. Let's ask the Lord to continue to lead our brothers and sisters, to lead our missional endeavors as a church. Let's pray. Let's pray over our local outreach, Igape, Homi, Freedom Bridge, Recreation, SP Lights. Let's pray for our team members to continually be built up. I know some of the ministries are on hold, but the others that are continue on, let's just pray for anointing. Let's pray for our SP fam, our foster and adoption ministries, and let's pray that more families would sign up. Let's pray more would be approved, that God would entrust more babies into our care, and the ones that we do have, that God would just continue to watch over them. Let's pray our gatherings tonight. Our intercessory prayer team is meeting, the college ministry, SPU, the youth group, and also Experiencing God class. And let's pray for God's hand upon all of us, our prayer warriors, our students, and our EG participants, that we would all really experience God tonight. Let's pray for house churches meeting tonight, Elements, Go, McCain, MacDaddy, and Westside. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to really anoint our leaders and our hosts. And actually, there is no house church tonight, right? Yeah. Sorry. Forget that one. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's ask God's hand upon Hong Kong, and let's pray for Holy Spirit to really lead and guide us and watch over our city, especially continue the cases to go down. People will get vaccinated, and we'll see the city come back to health again. Let's pray. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, thank you that you, God, are a God that does not remember our sins. Lord, when we repented and sought forgiveness, God, you remember no more. You bear it into the deepest sea. You remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. And we thank you for that, God. And that way, Lord, we can be blameless in your eyes. Lord, and especially coming out of Easter, Lord, we thank you for what the cross means to us in that way. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to respond to your faithfulness, to respond to your forgiveness. Lord, not by sinning more, God. That was a question that Paul addressed, God. Lord, but by being more holy. Thank you, Lord. God, pour your love over us, God, and help us to respond in kind. We love you, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. It's so good to be back in the house of the Lord for EMP. And so please enjoy your time and pray and seek the Lord. Okay, we'll see you later. Bye.